The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And happy 100th episode.
Happy 100 episodes. That's insane. I feel like when we first started this podcast, we did not expect to be here. So I'm so proud of us.
I know. We've had around 100 plus weeks of existence. Like, that's a really long time.
Yeah. And thank you to all our pod besties for hanging with us this whole time. Like, we love you so much. And we're so happy you're here for our 100th episode.
I know. It's so amazing to celebrate with you guys. A gift from us to you. We are doing burning questions on this episode. We're going to try to answer all of your burning questions, at least the top ones. And we're not going to hold back.
We are not holding back. Do we ever?
Well, especially in the beginning, we were really careful. And then I think that there was this moment where we're like, okay, let's just be really honest. We're just going to say it how it is. And we love that we got to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I was of the mindset too of like, okay, let's be cautious. But I feel like the people who have listened to us know who we are now. And, you know, they know that, you know, we're going to be honest with them.
Yeah, so. I was mostly thinking about our Netflix contract, but you hit it on the head too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. Wait, so how was your birthday? How was Ireland? Tell me everything.
Okay. It was really amazing to spend my birthday in Ireland. I was like, what is my life right now? Like, I know. Here I am alone, biking on an island, eating fish and chips every day and having a Guinness. I was like, I'm really living the life. And then I got really sick.
Oh, no.
And then my GERD acted up. So I had like acid reflux, I had IBS symptoms. I was literally hanging by a thread. I still kind of am. Like, I just got back and I'm still not feeling 100% for our 100th episode, which perfect. But it was bad. I think what happened is I ate too many fish and chips. I love malt vinegar. Like, you know how you put malt vinegar on fish and chips? Mm-hmm. And I think you're only supposed to put like a little bit. You're not supposed to like douse everything in malt vinegar. But I love that, like, you know, that taste, like that taste.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Kind of. Like, but I feel like you took it to the extreme.
Yeah. Like, okay. So on every table, when you go to like a fish and chips shop or chippery or whatever they call it, There's malt vinegar packets at each table. And I think you're only supposed to use like one or two, but I would use like six or seven.
Natalie.
Yeah, like I would drench my fish and chips in malt vinegar. And I had it like two or three times a day because one thing about me is I grew up eating Long John Silver. So when I tasted real fish and chips, I was in. Like, I was like, I love this shit. So anyways, by the third day of eating a bunch of fish and chips doused in malt vinegar, I had a little acid reflux attack.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, maybe it'll just go away. I'm going to keep eating my fish and chips. And then it got really bad. It just got really bad. And I was bedridden. Like, I could not move. I had such bad heartburn. I could feel the acid in my throat and like in my stomach. My IBS got so bad. One thing about me is I never learn, right? I have to learn it and relearn it like thousands of times. Like, sometimes I will forget that I have GERD and IBS and just eat like I have a normal stomach. And then this happens. And then I remember why my stomach is dysfunctional.
Yep. It's like all of my lactose intolerant friends who are the first ones to eat the most pizza ever.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, I forgot I'm lactose intolerant. And that is the definition of you.
Yeah. I couldn't go out. I just was in bed for like 2 to 3 days eating a bunch of bananas and miso soup. Like that was kind of it. But then on the last day, I was like, you know what? I'm in Ireland. I got to get out.
Yeah.
So I was walking around and I realized bad idea because I had to use the bathroom so much. I was just like going into coffee shops. Like I probably that day I went into 20 coffee shops and you have to order something to use the bathroom. I ordered like 20 teas. And at one, wait, this one, this, oh my gosh, this is why I can never go back now to Ireland, to Dublin specifically. So I go into my fourth coffee shop of the day because I have to use the bathroom. And it's not number one. Like, you know, I got to go.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
My IBS is like flaring. And so I find a coffee shop. I go in it and the woman behind the counter recognizes me. She goes, oh my gosh. She goes, you're Natalie from Love is Blind. And we're having a really nice chat. And I was like, can I use your bathroom? And then I'll order some tea on my way out. She goes, sure, sure. No problem. There's nobody in this coffee shop. So I go use the bathroom, do my thing and come out. And a guy comes in and he's like, can I use your bathroom? And she goes, sure, sure. And so he uses it. And I realized you could hear everything. He didn't do number two like me. He just did number one. But I could hear him coughing. I could hear everything. I could hear him even zipping up his pants. Like,
nope.
You could hear everything through that door. And as I'm talking to her, I realized like, oh my gosh, you could hear everything. And I think I must have like paused. You could tell I wasn't paying attention. She goes, oi, I didn't hear ya.
Oh, she heard you.
You know, when you get embarrassed, you like over explain. So I was like, I ate too many fish and chips on this trip. So, you know, I've just been having some tummy issues. And that was it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I'll never go back.
I'm afraid that you haven't learned your lesson, though, because this will happen again.
You know how you have those moments where you're in the shower and the hot water is hitting your back and you think of something and you're just like, fuck.
Yes.
That's my moment.
Yep. Absolutely.
I know the sounds I made and the fact she heard them, too. Yeah. It makes me want to die inside. My soul literally floated from my body.
No, that's my absolute worst nightmare. I can't even like be with a friend traveling and them hearing any sounds in the bathroom. So I couldn't even imagine a stranger. So I would have dipped out of there so bad. I'd be like, gotta go. I'm so sorry.
I mean, I dipped out quick when I realized, oh, she heard everything. And now she knows Natalie from Love is Blind has some issues.
Aww.
She heard the most intimate part of me. Isn't that so crazy? Mm-hmm. This stranger in Dublin heard the most intimate part of my life.
At least she is somebody that like loves listening to you. And I don't think she judges you as much because I feel like we like overhype it in our head of how much people actually think about it. She didn't think about it after it happened. It's all good. You're just going to relive it for a long time.
But I don't know. When I was in that bathroom, I was judging myself too. I was like, what is wrong with your body? I was like, why'd you eat so many fish and chips?
Thank goodness it wasn't like a shared bathroom, like a stalls.
Oh, I could never. If there's people in the bathroom, like it's like a shared bathroom, I was like, I got to wait for it to clear out.
Yep, absolutely. That's nothing is even more embarrassing than that. That like especially like at an airport or something. Like, nope.
Yeah, but
because I've heard it in the bathroom before of other people, and I'm like, oh, that's so like I get so grossed out. I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Oh, I don't. I'm now in a place where I was like, no judgment. You know, like I was like, I've heard myself do it. I was like, you know what? I know you're just as uncomfortable. I know you're trying to hide your toes underneath the stall doors. Like, I get it. And I was like, just live your life.
Just live your life. No one cares. That's the beauty about solo traveling. No one cares. And you're never going to see them again.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like I'll see like an Instagram post or an Instagram story somewhere and be like...
Could you imagine if someone did that? I would literally cry. I think I would have to go into hiding for a hot minute. I'd be like, Natalie, I'm sorry, but I can't come on the podcast for at least 5 episodes. Like, you do it on your own. Bye.
That's why I feel like I need to get ahead of it and talk about it on this podcast episode. So if it's like this weird story that comes out, like someone makes a TikTok about it, I can be like, I already owned up to it. It was indeed me. I already talked about it on my podcast.
I'm so dead.
But anyways, how's Costa Rica?
It's less vinegary.
No fish and chips?
No fish and chips here. Oh my God, Costa Rica has been absolutely beautiful. The hardest part, I think, of solo traveling so far is literally the customs line at the airport. But first, let me tell you about this incident that happened on the airplane and tell me if I'm the worst human ever. So on my flight from Houston to Costa Rica, I'm sitting and there's nobody in my row. And I am a religious window seat girly. Like, I have to have the window. I don't know what it is. Like, I just love the window. And I specifically picked this spot, even though it was like 28A. It was like way in the back of the plane, but I was like, I have to pick the window seat. And that was the only one open. So then this mom and daughter come walking up to me in the aisle, and she looks at me and she's like, can my daughter have the window seat? And I was like, I was so taken aback. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I picked the seat, like, whatever. And she's like, my daughter loves looking out the window. And she was probably like 10 or 11 years old. She's like, she loves looking out the window. Like, do you mind like giving her the window? And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I literally froze and I was like, no, like, what's your seat number? And she kept asking me and I was like, Natalie, I was the most horrible person ever. But I was like, no, I said no.
I don't think that's horrible because there's a huge story going on where this happened to another woman. Have you been seeing this
really?
On social media? Yeah,
no,
it's like
I haven't.
Blowing up. It's actually viral where a woman who is actually an influencer rejected giving her window seat to a young kid. And the kid started crying the entire plane ride because he didn't get the window seat. And someone, I think it's the mom of the child or another passenger, started filming her just like berating her for not switching her seat, even though like that was her actual seat.
Yeah. Okay. I have not seen anything on this because I've been a little MIA offline here, but that's insane. But what's even more awkward is obviously they sat down next to me after. And I was like, this is going to be the most awkward thing ever.
They
I was
were
like,
in your row.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were sitting in my row. So I was like, this is so awkward. And normally I'm always the type of person to be like, no, you can have it. But it was like a 4.5 hour flight. And I was just like, no, I really like, I just need my window. I don't know what it is. But like, I was like, I have to just sit in my little space over here. And I immediately just put on the headphones and didn't say a word the entire time. And once in a while, I'd be like, oh, like you can look.
I mean, I don't think you're in the wrong. I don't think you should feel awkward. I feel like if her daughter wanted the window seat, then choose the window seat or pay extra for the window seat at checkout when you're like checking into your flight or choosing your seat when you are paying for a flight, right?
Yeah, like internally, I was like freaking out because I was like, normally my people pleasing mentality would be like, no, just give her the window seat. She's like 11 years old. She probably loves sitting there. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? This time around, I don't know why, but like every fiber of my being was like, no, just don't move.
Yeah.
Just don't move. Just say no this one time, you know? And I didn't, but I felt bad the entire time. I was like, oh my God, I feel so terrible. Anytime I took a picture of like the islands, I was like, oh, look, like just to like keep her included.
You're
you
like,
know?
Hey, do you want this photo? Since you can't see from your middle seat. No, I feel that though, because I used to travel every week when I was a management consultant. And so more often than not, I did get those requests like, hey, can I get the aisle seat? And do you mind switching? Like, I'm really tall. I need to stretch my legs. And I'd be like, well, I have IBS and I need like no one in my way as I run to the bathroom. Okay.
Yeah.
But I would get those requests. But I was like, yeah, sometimes if it doesn't matter to you, you're like, sure, like it's not a big deal. But then other times it's like, if you chose that seat and it mattered for you and it's a big part of your trip, like, yeah, like it's your seat.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I feel like normally I wouldn't mind, especially if you're switching seats that are just like the actual seat, but just a different row. Don't mind at all doing that.
Yeah.
But this specific incident, I was like, oh my God, I'm the worst. But I texted my family and they were like, it's okay. Like you did the right thing. It's all right. No, don't worry about it too much. But anyways, that's how my trip started.
And you're like,
and I was like,
right?
I'm so sorry.
When we first met on the flight to Love is Blind, like the filming location in LA, and I got the window seat. Were you wanting to switch with me?
No, because did I? I don't even remember where I sat. You did? Yeah, yeah, I probably was like, this, how dare she? No, no. I honestly, I think I was like so hyped just to be going and so anxious and nervous that I didn't even care about the window seat.
I was just kidding.
But I do remember I was in the aisle because there's someone in between us.
Yeah, there's someone in between.
Because I remember you taking notes. Yeah.
I was writing in my journal. You always say I'm taking notes.
I always like to say that because it's just funny. It's just funnier to say that. I'm like, she was taking notes.
Yeah, and I was like, I was taking notes on how my life is going to be ruined by Love is Blind.
As somebody who journals, I don't know why I keep saying that, but it's hilarious.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That was crazy that we were in the same row and we lied to each other on the reason why we were going to LA. I think I lied saying like, oh, I'm like visiting a friend. And I forget what you said. Did you say you're also visiting friends too?
Mm-hmm. And the fact that we saw each other in the bathroom first.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got on the plane and then you were in my row. And I was like, this is weird. And isn't that crazy? And now look where we are on our 100th episode, almost 4 years later. That's insane.
The funniest part was, you know how we have to all meet up as a group, like all the Love is Blind contestants, or at least all of the women contestants. And I was like, hey, you lied to me. And you're like, you lied to me, too.
And that's the foundation of our friendship.
Literally.
And then we had the same producer, which was hilarious because we were in the same van going to set. And then we had like the most emotional heart to heart because we were like, oh, my gosh, we're Asian women coming on this show. We're like representing. And we like had a whole spiel. Like, that's insane to think about. Wow.
I know.
Oh, my God. That could make me a little emotional.
I know. That was the foundation of our friendship and our connection with Shane.
Yeah.
We both connected with Shane. We were both his one and two. People always think it's Shane and I, but it was actually Deepti and I. And look at us now.
Look at us now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We've been through some things, girl.
And now we're on our 100th episode.
We're our 100th episode and we're both solo traveling in foreign countries. Like, I can't believe the journey that has led us here. Like, I'm so proud of us and I'm just so excited for what the future holds.
I know. Deepti's waking up to sunsets and I'm blowing up bathrooms in Dublin.
I'm waking up to sunsets.
Dude, I'm telling you.
But you're right.
I'm so dehydrated and still so sick. Like, I don't even know what I'm saying now.
You've been through some things in Ireland, so
yeah,
I forgive it.
You know what? It really was a fight, let me tell you.
So I'm staying in three different locations while I'm out here for the 3 weeks. The first one that I'm in right now, as you can see, I am in an Airbnb. It has like a full kitchen and a full everything. And it's been actually really cool because I feel like I'm by myself a lot anyways when I'm in Chicago and I don't want to go out and do things, which is exactly why I wanted to like come into nature. And I've just been wanting to go everywhere all the time. The other day, I did a zip line and ATV tour. And it was so weird because I went by myself. So like, it's like transportation's included. So I'm sitting there and then like families are coming in and I'm just like nonchalant talking to the family. Like, hey, like, where are you guys from? And this is so weird. But one of the families is from the same city in Texas that where my brother and sister-in-law live. And so it's just like kind of sparked a conversation and they basically adopted me into the family and we did the entire excursion together. And so it's just been like really fun to just meet new people who are also traveling. And it's crazy how they just like kind of take you under your wing. And there's so many like similarities. I feel like it's such a small world. And even in the place that I'm staying at, there's like a shared pool. And at the pool, I'll just go like hang out, like dip my toes in. And I've just met so many people from England. I've met people from Australia and they're just like doing the same thing as me. And they're always like a little freaked out when they're like, you're doing a solo travel. Like, that's interesting.
Okay. I really love that. I love that you're getting more social interaction than I am. I don't know if it's like my resting bitch face or what. Oh, well, I have something called resting sad face. Like I always look like, I'm always so like about to, I always look like I'm about to burst into tears. Like, you know, like my, and then my lips get all like puckery. I'm always like, so I was like, do people not want to talk to me? Or do people don't think I speak English? Like, do they think I'm actually from Asia? Like, what's going on here?
I think it's also because I'm doing the excursion. So we're together for like 4+ hours. So you have no choice but to talk to people. And then like, obviously people are just like in my vicinity. I'm not going to just be like quiet, you know? I'm like, that's one thing I've learned about me. I was like, oh, I'm actually like a social person.
You just learned that?
Like I'm not.
you didn't like, learn all the times you and I have gone to parties and I don't see a peep all night. And meanwhile, you're like, I've met 20 people tonight. And I got but, half of their numbers.
And I'm but like, oh. I think that that's because you give me confidence. Like if I'm with somebody else, I feel like I'm a little bit more confident. Whereas this is, since it's like my first like international solo, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to act. Like, do I be reserved? Like, I didn't think I had it in me, but I'm like, okay, cool girl. You're like finding out new things about yourself. You can do this.
Okay. I love that for you. I love this growth. That's been my big thing about solo traveling right now is just being okay with being alone and figuring everything out on my own. Like, obviously, I'm a very type A person. I love an itinerary. I like knowing where I'm going, what time, everything. And it hasn't happened perfectly on this trip. And I've gotten lost. I have lost track of time. You know, the bus didn't come when it was supposed to come, like things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just like trying to be okay with that is what I'm learning from this solo trip.
Absolutely. One time, oh my gosh. So the other day I went to the marina and it's just like a bunch of buildings and I went to go get coffee. And because I'm driving here, like I parked in a parking garage and I could not for the life of me figure out how to get back into the parking garage. And I walked up and down this marina probably like 2 or 3 times. And there's workers that are just staring at me like through the stores and like that are standing out front. They're like, what is she doing? And I just like was like, oh, whatever.
They're like, she's a solo tripper. She's an American. 100%.
I literally pulled out my phone as if I was just like recording something. I was like, oh, this is fine. This is what I intended to do in the first place. It's all good.
Oh my gosh. That's actually really funny. But we're loving it. People always ask like why we're solo traveling. And I honestly think it's because we're having this mental breakdown and we just needed an escape. Okay. Like, really I don't know what else you guys want us to say about it. I'm just honestly kidding. It's not that. I think we're having this like eat, pray, love era.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think as soon as you told me like after your lease is up, you're going to go travel. I was like, oh my God, this is my opportunity to also do the same because then we can do podcasting virtually. And I was feeling so stuck in Chicago. I don't know if you were feeling the same way, but like the winter was just brutal. And I just like had no energy to get up and go do anything. I just was like stuck to my apartment the whole time, or I was at my parents' place. And I was like, I need to get out in nature immediately. Like I need something that is going to spark my soul. And I'm so happy I chose Costa Rica because it is so, so stunning here. And everyone is so friendly. And I'm picking up on my Spanish again after the 3 years of it I took in high school.
Ooh, I love that.
No, it was a joke. I'm really bad at it. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot everything. My teacher would be so upset with me.
It'll come back. It'll slowly come back. Slowly. No, I agree. I feel like when I started getting the itch to go somewhere else, I think it's because I realized I was so comfortable in my life and I had such a strict routine for myself where I would get up at like 5:30 a.m. every day, go work out, come back, make a smoothie, do this, that. Like, it was just the same every single day. And I was like, this is not the type of person I want to be. And I want to like challenge myself and do like fun things and be in a fun place where I feel the need to like, I feel forced to do something fun. So that was the reason why. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. And we're so lucky that we have pod besties from around the world who have been able to give us recommendations and kind of look out for us. Like, you guys are literally the best. And again, we are so excited to do these burning questions for you.
Let's do it.
Woo. Before we get into it, though, can we talk about some new things we learned about this Love is Blind season 8 cast since the reunion?
Yes, please. I feel like this is always the time after the season airs and it's like completely finished that you start to see all the things that are happening behind the scenes and new dramas coming to light. So let's talk about it.
Oh my gosh. Well, first, this was a huge surprise to me. Allegedly, Sarah and Joey are dating.
I heard about this. I mean, Sarah did confirm that they're not, but you never know what the future holds, is what she said. Yes.
Okay. So Deep D is talking about a recent podcast interview that Sarah did. And she says during that interview, her and Joey aren't dating, but they have a special friendship. And who knows, they might date down the line. She doesn't know what the future holds. And that said to me, like, they're hooking up. And also, I think the biggest indicator is the fact that Monica and Sarah don't follow each other on Instagram.
Ooh, drama. This is too early for this type of drama, don't you think? Like, we were so cordial when after our season aired, I feel like.
I mean,
obviously there's a few things here and there that happened, but I'm like,
no,
this seems interesting.
It was confirmed to me by a cast member. I guess the entire cast pretty much knows that Joey and Sarah are dating. I think that this is so weird. I don't know if Sarah and Monica were ever friends, so I can't be like, Sarah's not being a girl's girl or whatever. Like, again, if they weren't friends, like, Sarah's free to do whatever she wants. And obviously, like, Monica and Joey broke up, so it's not like Sarah's stepping on anyone's toes here. But did Sarah not see Joey on that skateboard? Like, was she just not like...
How did you say that with such a straight face? Because what? I didn't think that's where you were going.
Honestly, was she just not like, yeah, not the man for me? Instead, she was like, yep. She goes, that's my man. That's my man.
I'm telling you, though, a lot of people are trying to compare Kyle and I's situation with the same thing. So I guess I kind of understand how it can happen, especially because Sarah said like, oh, Joey and her kind of dated in the pod. So maybe they like reconnected. I don't think it's crazy to me that they're talking, like maybe they're trauma bonding like Kyle and I did because we had, you know, wild ex-fiancés from the show. So I don't know. I'm like, do you, boo? Like, who cares? You know, is that a crazy take to have? I don't know.
No, I think it's fine that they're reconnecting. Sarah said in this podcast interview that Joey was a top connection for her in the pods. We just didn't see it on the show. Mm-hmm. I just am surprised that she chose Joey. I think like after what Monica said at the reunion, it was very clear Joey was pretty much just using Monica and kind of leading her on till the end. Like, he was never interested in her. And I was like, oh, that gives me the ick. Like, what an ick of a man for him to do that. And so I was like, why did Sarah choose Joey right now? And I think she's denying it right now, like publicly, because she knows Joey is getting backlash after the reunion. And I think she's just trying to save face. But I was like, I don't know. I just look, I don't really see it. But yeah, you're totally right. They probably, you know,
I don't know if I think it is weird that she chose Joey because I guess I don't really know Joey, but maybe there's more to him than what meets the eye or what we watched on Love is Blind. But I do feel like, I don't know, when you're in this period of like, oh my gosh, I don't feel good enough, because Ben kind of like distance himself from Sarah. I feel like that's where I was. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to find love so hard. Like, let me just try to explore my other connections because they happened. So yeah. I don't know, maybe she's of that mindset. Is it a little messy right now? Absolutely, because it sucks because I love Monica and I don't want to see her hurt. But at the end of the day, Monica was way out of Joey's league. So
are you saying Sarah's right at Joey's league?
No, but no, don't put that in my head.
But you know what? No judgment. I feel bad now. You know what? I'm going to backtrack. I feel bad going hard on Sarah. Look, I have chosen and dated some weird ass men too, okay? And it's a canon event. You just got to let it happen and then
exactly. Let Sarah learn on her own that Joey might not be really the person for her.
Yeah. It's like sometimes you just got to let it happen and just be like, okay. Yeah. We'll just see what you learn after that, okay? That's what matters the most.
Exactly. Learn from your mistakes.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So Sarah's involved in a little bit of more social media drama with Ben. So Ben released some text messages between him and Sarah on his TikTok that shows him sending a text to Sarah after she leaves to Nashville, and after he stopped sharing his location with her on Find My Friends, he's like, hey, we're broken up, like trying to navigate this breakup, like making it very clear that they're broken up and he's not coming to Nashville. And so people are saying, like, wait a minute, like Ben's telling the truth, like what he said at the reunion, like they're fully broken up, like why would he go to Nashville? But then a few days later, Sarah on her TikTok released text messages of her own that shows like Ben's saying to her, like, I love you, like, you know, and then the next day is pretty much like, we're broken up. I'm not going to Nashville.
Oh, that's messy. That's so messy. It's talk about mixed signals. I feel like Ben is giving her like crumbs just to keep her on his good side because he knows reunion's coming up. Because obviously at the reunion, he was like, you know, I took some advice from Jimmy and I do not fault Jimmy whatsoever. I think he was just trying to be like, hey, you know, just be cordial. But anyways, I just feel like he sent those text messages just to keep Sarah at bay, you know, like to, just to make sure that she doesn't do him wrong at the reunion, which kind of backfired. But
yeah,
but at the same time, if someone's giving you mixed signals, you just got to move on, you know? Like, I don't know.
And I think she did move on. I think she was trying to explain, like, what happened. And he was, like, saying, like, no, we broke up. But I think it kind of shows, like, Ben is a little bit, like, toxic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. And he's really good at putting a good guy's act. I'm not on either of them sides. Like, right now, I'm just like, what is happening between Sarah and Ben here on social media? I feel like he sent that text where it clarifies, like, we're broken up because he knew one day he could use it against Sarah. Mm-hmm. And, like, a lot of people don't know this, but, like, people do that on Love is Blind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've done it. It's where I'm like, okay, if I ever need these text messages, I'm making it clear, like, this is the situation. In case anyone wants to screenshot our conversation, like, this is what's said. Obviously, as a person right now, I would never release text messages. But at the time, when I was going through some contentious shit with Shane, I was like, oh, he's sending me texts that he knows, like, he can screenshot later on and it will, like, follow his narrative. Well, I'm going to send my own. Like, I know exactly what you're doing. And Ben did it in this case to Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right about that. Because if you think about it, we're on season 8. They have learned a thing or two about Love is Blind and the repercussions of your words and just and how receipts. People can... Yes, and how people can expose you. And even on our season, I knew that's what Shake was doing. Anytime we hung out, especially the whole Nobu situation, he was taking so many pictures and he was probably there for like 30 minutes tops, took his pictures and then dipped out. I hung out with other castmates after that. And then even when we went to Lollapalooza, all these different things that he would, you know, coordinate or organize, it was all a front to take pictures and content and be like, hey, like we're friends, you know, so it all has a underlying meaning to it. And I feel like that's exactly what we're seeing from Ben. He was like, let me just get these words out just to cover myself, you know, and that's absolutely the vibe that I also get. Like he's very calculated.
I know everyone is calculated, especially after the season airs. Like you have to be because it's a way to also protect our mental health. Like you know, and stay out of drama. But for in this case, I was like, I don't believe Ben. I feel like, but I still don't know why Sarah even went back to Ben after saying I don't at the altar. But I also did it too. So like, so no judgment. But I'm like, you know, again, canon event. What can you do? You live and you learn.
Exactly. You live and you learn. And also it's so easy to judge people from the outside looking in because we're not feeling the feelings that they're feeling. And it is a crazy, intense emotional time that is the filming of Love is Blind and the airing of Love is Blind. So I kind of get it. It's like you're trying to just explore it. And I think we both have been there. So we're like, we totally understand how she's feeling. And she just, you know, wants some sort of normalcy back and like time back with this person that she made all these memories with. So I don't know. I don't fault anyone in this situation except for Ben. Ben, I'm looking at you a little funny.
Yeah, same. I was like, I'm looking at Ben a little bit side-eye. Okay, guys, let's get into these burning questions. If you don't know how to submit your burning questions, we take them on our Instagram page. You can always email us too. It's on our Instagram bio, but you could DM us. We have a post that we put up a few days before these burning question episodes where you can write your comments, but that's how you submit them. And we're excited to answer them.
Okay, first question. Will you guys have anybody from season 8 on your podcast?
Okay, we're going to be really honest with you guys why we most likely won't and why in the future we won't have current cast members right away on our podcast. So when we started this podcast, we were told by Kinetic Content, like we have a choice. We either kind of like follow the narrative they want us to follow, and then we could get cast members on this podcast. Or if we talk really honestly and share honest thoughts about the season, they're like, we're not going to reward you with giving you cast members to interview. And Deep D and I chose, we're going to talk really honestly about how we feel about the season. Like, we're not going to be, you know, these like plants for you guys. And so, yeah, that's what we chose. And we aren't rewarded with season 8 cast member interviews as a result.
Yeah. And honestly, I wish we could have the current season cast on because I think the whole reason why we started this podcast also is to give authentic stories and to share a lot of behind the scenes because what you see on your screen is such a small fraction of what actually happens. And because Natalie and I have been in that situation, we wanted to share our stories and explain the context behind certain scenes. And I wish we could have the cast on to explain that side. But, you know, we just have to talk to them privately and, you know, share it that way, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I think honesty over, you know, going to these events and, you know, meeting the cast and having them on the interview sounds a lot better.
Yeah. Like we always said, like, we're not going to fake it, especially after our community started growing for this podcast. We were like, we're not going to fake it and like follow a narrative or like do what they want us to do. And we think that's why this podcast is really popular is because we're super honest. And I was like, I don't want to be a podcast where I'm used to like push something that like we don't actually think is true. So that's kind of that. And so that's the path we chose. And if you want us to choose the other path, let us know. But we're kind of glad we chose to share our authentic thoughts on this podcast. Simple as that. Okay, next question. Which cast members have slid into your DMs for advice?
Ooh, should I be honest about this?
Can I actually say an honest one? Because I was really shocked.
Yes.
Alex from this current season. And I literally want to like throw up. I was like, excuse me. I was like, I have no advice to give for your situation.
Yeah. Honestly, okay, I don't want to say who, because I feel like there's some trust established there and I don't want to like, you know, blast her or anything, but I will say, you know, one of the current season cast members has reached out to me and we had a very authentic conversation and I'll just say I love her.
Yeah.
But you know, and that's to say, you know, people do slide into our DMs and ask for advice because we've been there. And the fact that we have this podcast, too, I think we do have some advice or insight to share. So, you know, I'm glad that they do that.
Yeah. So I would say every season there are a few that reach out to us, also from other Netflix shows. And I feel like same as you, Deep D, like it's that trust is established and it's not our place to say, and they're typically like, can you keep this conversation between us? And we'll respect that. But I will say most, if not all, cast members from each season listen to this podcast, which makes it a little bit hard when recapping, but we try to like ignore that detail. And we're like, we just want to be like honest and recap the show as how we view it and what we think went on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes they'll DM us and be like, that's not what happened. Like, this is what actually happened. And sometimes that helps with our recap. And other times we're like, I don't, you know, like, how are we supposed to have this person's side when they're coming off so bad? So
I know
it's tough.
It is tough. It is tough. And sometimes I do have to say I'm a little biased. If I do talk to that cast member, I'm going to be like, you know what? I feel like I know them personally in a way, and I will have their back. But like, obviously, we still call people out if like something doesn't like seem right. And you're like, excuse me, what actually happened here? But anyways, we do get, you know, some DMs from cast members from across the season. So
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, next question. How do producers decide who answers the first I do at the altar?
I think whoever makes it the juiciest. There's not a rhyme or reason. I think if they know someone's going to say yes and the other person's going to say no, they have the person saying yes go first, and then the other person who's saying no go after them. So it makes this really surprising moment. But if both people are saying I don't, I think if the producer wants you to feel sorry about someone, they'll have like the other person say I don't. Or if they want like this I choose myself moment, they'll have like, for example, like Deep D say I don't first. Not saying like you were in that scenario, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, no, I wasn't that scenario. But yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's so storyline dependent. And it really, it's based off of like how, you know, the story has gone and how they want to, you know, basically showcase it on the show. So it's really just dependent on that and they'll kind of discuss it, I guess.
Yeah.
But thank goodness we got to say no first.
I've said this story before, but I found out in the Kenny and Kelly storyline from season one. So the show makes it look like Kelly says, I don't, and Kenny is surprised by it, and he kind of has a meltdown over it after their wedding. I found out that Kenny was actually going to say, I don't as well. And so they had Kelly say, I don't first, and I don't think he ever had to say, I don't. And it was, you know, it was just kind of this moment. So I think it really depends on like what storyline the producer is looking for. But yeah, I got Kenny's I don't speech to help write my I don't vows for my wedding.
I forgot about that. Yeah. I totally forgot.
And I was like, what the hell? And they're like, oh yeah, he was going to say I don't too. And I was like, okay. That's
talk
weird.
About breach of trust, because if I were Kenny, I'd be so mad.
No,
like, excuse me, that was personal.
Well, he was going to read it anyways. So like, it's not personal, you know, like he was ready to read those I don't vows. So I don't think nothing's personal in the Love is Blind production
That's
world.
True.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely not.
Okay, next question. What do you tell your friends and family when you're about to leave to film Love is Blind since you signed an NDA?
I told my family that I was leaving because this was over COVID. And so I wasn't living alone. I know a lot of people didn't tell their friends and family and kind of just like dipped for the 2.5 weeks where they wouldn't have their phone. But I had to tell my parents because I was living with them at the time. And even though I did sign the NDA, I knew that my family was going to find out anyways, because if I did get engaged, then obviously they would also have to sign an NDA. So there was like a little bit of trust there. Friends-wise, I didn't tell any friends that I was doing the show. So I kept it quiet. I only told my family because obviously they'd be like, where's Deep T?
Yeah, but I actually think it's the opposite. I think most people tell their friends and family before getting on the show. And then, you know, they just trust their friends and family that they're not going to tell anyone. Like, think about in Lauren's scenario, she told her friends with benefits that she was casting for Love is Blind and going on the show. So you know, I think most people know than not when you go on. In my scenario though, I told my parents I was filming a show, but I didn't tell them which show.
Just so that they would know where whereabouts you were, but not what you were doing, kind of.
Exactly. So
you know, also speaking of Lauren and Dave, though, I saw something recently that said Dave knew that somebody on the show had a boyfriend going into it. And apparently that was Lauren. And he was saying how like that kind of skewed his relationship on the show. And I was like, how people on season 8 had big mouths. Because they were like, I'm going on reality TV.
No, everyone knew in Minnesota, like my friends in Minnesota knew who was on this current season of Love is Blind before the season even came out. But like, obviously, I didn't care that much because you don't know these people's last names. So you can't even look them up, right? Like, you're just like, you just hear the name like Taylor, Lauren, Sarah, and it doesn't mean anything to you until the show comes out. But yeah, I mean, like, nothing's really a secret. It's, I think the reason why it's kept a secret is because no one really cares about cast members until they're on the actual aired show. So it doesn't really matter, I think, if you tell friends or family.
Next one. Why aren't LIB producers going for larger cities like New York City?
Okay, this is a fun fact. But season 2, so our season, was actually supposed to be in New York City. So the initial casting notice was for New York City, not Chicago.
So happy it was Chicago.
I know.
Because I wouldn't have met you.
That's what I was going to say. And I think the reason why they ultimately had to drop New York City is I think it's really expensive to film there. Like, you have to pay the city something to film there. It might have been also because, like, in the earlier seasons, you're dealing with, like, a lower budget. So maybe finding shared apartments would have been really expensive to, you know, like, find them in New York City, and also, like, host weddings there. So who knows? But that's what I was told by one of the producers at the time. Like, that's why they scrapped New York City.
Yeah, the budget situation makes a lot of sense. How do you feel about the next season being Denver? I'm actually super excited for it because my brother used to live in Denver. So I was out there so often, especially over COVID. I think I was there for like 6+ months and I loved it. But I feel like we're going to see very vanilla people. I don't know, but I'm excited for it.
I feel like Denver is a different breed. Like, that is a city I don't understand. I love Denver. I think it's so beautiful, but everyone loves nature there. Everyone loves skiing. Everyone loves hiking. Everyone wears Patagonia. Everyone has like a Yeti, you know, like water bottle. And
it... Chef's kiss. I love Denver. I'm like, I think I've told you this so many times that I thought about moving to Denver. And I don't know, maybe one day I will.
I don't know.
That is my...
I don't see you fitting into Denver.
Oh, dude, what? I was there for so long. I loved it.
You don't dress like a Denver. I don't see anyone wearing black in Denver, okay? All I see is the loud ass blue, like, backpacks or, like you know, multicolored, like, outfits.
Can I tell you, Chicago has made me dress black. The city of Chicago has turned me this way. You should have seen me when I was out in Denver. I was, like, always in athleisure. I would go to
black
bed
athleisure.
By, like, 10, not... Yes, often. But also, you know, I added some color in there. There were some neutral colors. But I would like, I even had like the waist leash for my brother's dog, Vino. And I would wake him up at 6 a.m. He hated me. He hated to see me coming with that leash. And we would go on like 3-mile hikes in the morning. Ooh. Be asleep by like 10 p.m. Oh, I love it. I love it.
All I know you is the DT who wears black. So I can't. Imagine a DT with like an Osprey backpack, like a light blue with a little green accent Osprey backpack.
You know, I need to bring out all my Patagonia. When we're back in Chicago together, I'm going to wear Patagonia for a month straight. And then you're going to be like, oh, I see it.
Yeah, I'll be like, I see it. I see you in nature. I just don't, you know, like the dressing. I'm excited for that season, though. Like, I feel like very nature-y people. Like, would make a really, like, very, like, I don't know, soothing love's blind.
I know. I can't even imagine all the dates that we're going to be seeing. They're all going to be, like, hiking. They're going to do, like, glamping.
What's your favorite hiking trail?
Camping. Yeah, what's your favorite hiking trail? What kind of dog do you have? Because you know everybody in Denver has a dog.
They're like, what's your favorite Black Diamond Mountain? To sit on?
Well, yeah, what epic pass do you use?
Yeah. Next question. Any Love is Blind season cast members you shoot your shot with?
No, absolutely not. I think the more I'm thinking about it, there's no one in that universe that I would shoot my shot with. But I do have to say, do I find a few of them attractive? Absolutely. But would I act on it? No. What about you? How do I know you're going to say somebody from UK?
Oh, I would go for Freddie from Love is Blind UK. I mean, I'm here in the UK. I'm just kidding. Freddie and I actually became really great friends. But I would say actually no one. I feel like no one fits into like what I'm actually looking for. I will say there was one cast member that like slid in and that was weird. But that's kind of been it. But like, yeah, like no one fits what I would need in core qualities for a guy. Not like sounding I'm like above them. It's just that like, I feel like now at this ripe age, I'm like, I know exactly what I want. And it's not the men from Love is Blind.
Okay, we're going to do a little personal question. Switch off from LIB. Natalie, I think all the pod besties are dying to know, including me, how did your date go that you talked about last episode?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so because I just came back from Ireland, I was supposed to have my date with him today. Isn't it so crazy? I have my date is always scheduled the day that we're recording, but I am still unwell. Like, I cannot be more than 3 feet from a bathroom. And I was just like, hey, I've been sick. He doesn't know why I'm sick and how I feel sick. He goes, oh, like, did you get a little cough? And I was like,
You're like, it was cold in Ireland. Oh, well, lackluster answer, but you have to reschedule because I need you to go on this date.
I'm going in 2 days. I think I just need to like relax after what my body went through in Ireland. I really felt like I fought like 5 battles. Like that's how like tired I am. But listen, I'm actually really excited about this date. I love that I'm dating in a foreign country.
Honestly, kudos to you.
I will update you guys. It just gets, you know, like things happen and I just got to look out for my health.
Absolutely. I got to put me first.
I got to put energy. I got to put me and my IBS first.
Yes.
So next episode. Okay. We're going to push the update to the next episode. Next question. What's one thing you wish people understood about being on a reality dating show that they don't?
Okay. That's an interesting question. I feel like what you see is not really what happens. I've said this so many times, and Natalie has too, that you know, you're only seeing a fraction of someone's personality. And it's so easy to sit up from the outside and judge, like, the small facial expressions or like a side eye that you do or like a comment that you make, which is completely out of context because producers have like rearranged the scenes and put things in different places. I feel like that's like biggest one is like you don't truly know who anybody is by watching them on television. So don't go so hard on them because there's good sides and bad sides to every single person. And also dating specific, feelings are real. Like a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, like Deep T and Kyle faked it for clout or, you know, there's like comments like that all the time. And it's like, why would I go through the pain of doing that publicly if I didn't care about somebody or have feelings for them? So I feel like when it comes to dating specifically with reality shows, like the feelings are very much real and it's not orchestrated.
Yeah.
For the most part.
What I'll say is like the world of reality TV is highly, highly toxic. Even amongst cast members from each season or across seasons, there's a lot of drama you just don't know about, a lot of jealousy. So Deep T and I just like stay out of it. But also I'll say like on the producing side, highly toxic. Like producers yeah. have favorites. They can alter storylines. Like you have no control. You're just kind of a player in the game. Yeah. And it is what it is. It's really shocking to me. Like you could be the best person in the world and you can still get a bad edit if the producers can turn everyone against you. And mm-hmm. they use a lot of lies, like a lot of lies, and people do fall for it. It you don't hear something from someone and think, oh, that's a lie. You think, oh, they're telling the truth first, or at least most people.
Yeah. And since you're in like complete control of the producers too, it's like it's so easy to get manipulated because they can tell you anything. And obviously you have no insight into what's happening around you sometimes because you're in such a bubble. So it is very toxic.
Yeah.
It's like it can be rewarding because of the amazing, incredible people that you meet. But at the same time, there's a lot of negative.
Yeah. A lot of people sell their soul. For mm-hmm. just like attention, clout, and just to be in the good graces of, you know, a big production company because they want their next opportunity. And so it's kind of like a scary world, especially if you just come from like regular corporate jobs or people, yeah. you know, I don't know, like you're just not used to it. So yeah. it's crazy.
Okay. What did you guys think about the LIB top five moments?
I feel like it was definitely altered. Like, those weren't the top five moments for sure, especially no. Garrett's glow up. I was like, that wasn't a top five moment.
No. And the fact that Jimmy made it twice, the Jess moment absolutely deserved to be there because it was iconic and it was epic. But some of the things I was like, this is a little odd. The fact that Giannina's moment didn't make it on. She had two epic moments, but my favorite one when she's talking to Damien in the kitchen and she's like, I lost my butterflies.
I know. Like,
so good.
So it was good. So good. Even Jessica from season one feeding her dog wine. I was like, that was a meme for 2 years.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Love Is Blind really dropped the ball on that. And that's when I was like, yeah. you know what? I don't believe these polls anymore. Okay. There's some manipulation happening in these polls. And I was like, the absolutely. Fact that Garrett's glow up made it. I was like, I don't believe it. I don't believe
no.
it.
They had the perfect opportunity to, I don't know, feed the nostalgic, you know, vibes. And they didn't do that. And you're going to hate me for saying this, but even the Shane moment where he mistakes you for Shayna, epic. Like, I loved that moment. Like, even the, can I fit you on the shoulders? Like, are you kidding me? That was so good.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was shocked Shake didn't make it into that top five.
Yeah. Where Shake is like, the only person I think is attractive is Vanessa. I'm like, that was iconic.
Look,
he's crazy, but
one thing about Love Is Blind, which I feel like they don't do as well as other reality TV shows, is they highly edit and control their reunion. Like they don't make it fun and juicy and what the viewers want most of the time. It's like, how do they control like their image? Like, I don't think they'll ever like put Shake in there again, considering I think there's bad relations with him and the production company and Netflix. And so, yeah, it's just, it felt like filler. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I was like, they could have made this so fun and something that like the audience enjoys. And it just wasn't. But, you know, that's just my thoughts. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was very disappointed also. I feel like there's so many other moments that were epic. Even the guy with the eye drops.
Andrew.
That was wild.
Honestly, if I were to choose like a top favorite moment, it really is Andrew with the eye drops. Like, that was so wild.
It was insane. The fact that they left that in there, are the cameras rolling?
Yeah.
That was diabolical.
Like, it was the craziest part of season 3 for me. Another top 5 would be the cutie scenes of season 3, because that shook social media. Like, that's the first time when people were like, what the fuck just happened?
I agree. The fact that they actually rolled the tapes right after the reunion, that was like the best reunion. I was like shook.
It was crazy. It was actually so crazy. That's the first time that I realized like Love is Blind got a little bit scary, like the whole social media interaction with the show, because I was like, people were going hard on that cast, but them rolling the cuties footage, I mean, it was a first, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's showbiz, baby. That's when I thought, I was like, oh, God.
That's Love is Blind production for you. Just never quite hits it with the audience. They're always a little bit just trying to push some sort of agenda, which I don't really get. Okay, next one. You guys are so different and have different perspectives. Do you ever fight?
No, I don't think we've ever fought. We've definitely had disagreements where we don't agree on like certain topics, or we don't agree on a certain perspective, things like that. But I feel like that is such a healthy thing to have between business partners and podcast hosts. Like, if we didn't have that, I feel like that's asking for trouble. Like, what are we doing? you know? And I also feel like we are in a place now where we're so close that we're able to have very honest conversations with each other. If something is bothering one another, or like, you know, something doesn't sit well, like we're very upfront and honest. And I think that's what I absolutely love about us. And that's why we've lasted 100 episodes.
Okay, no notes on your response. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, honestly, like, I know that Deep D loves me so much, and vice versa, that if she ever says something that is disagreeing with me, like, I know it's not coming from a bad place. Like, I never take it personally. I'm like, oh yeah, she wants the best for this podcast. That's the only thing. If we have disagreements, that's the only thing we have. And then as best friends, I don't know, we never disagree. We just like,
no.
Like, we just, I think we both just like don't care enough half the time. And Deep D's very go with the flow too. I would say I am less go with the flow, but mostly we're just like, whatever. So
And you're totally right about having good intentions. It's like, I think at the end of the day, we just want what's best for each other too.
Yeah.
And like, I want to see you so happy and thriving in life. And I know that nothing you ever say ever is like comes with bad intentions. And when you have that foundation, I think like nothing can shake us, if I'm being honest.
I feel like because I trust you so much, like I know nothing you say is ever with ill intent. And honestly, like one thing I learned at this age and having your friendship is like, that's what friendship is about. Loving someone and trusting them that they want the best for you. And I found that in you. And I hope everyone finds that in a best friend. Honestly, it's the best.
You're going to make me cry.
No, really. It's so comforting in life when you just like know you can fully trust someone and you're never judged and they'll always have your back. And I have that in Deep D.
And I have that in you. Aww. That made me a little emotional. I'm not going to lie. We're going to start crying on our 100th episode.
Stop.
Cute. We've come a long way, girl.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, we're going to end it with one last question. Why did you guys decide to start a podcast?
To talk some shit. I'm just kidding.
I love it.
I don't know. Yeah, that's it. Okay, we'll see you next Wednesday. I'm just kidding.
Bye.
Honestly, the idea came because we were watching Love is Blind and we were recapping amongst ourselves. Like, we were just like yapping about it. And then we started posting it on our Instagram stories and people are like, okay, like, can you tell us more? Like, provide context, like why you think this? And we're like, let's just say it on a microphone. Like, why not?
Let's just record ourselves. Yeah. No, that's exactly it. I feel like When we first started, it was really about just recapping Love is Blind. And we're like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do the rest of the time. But the fact that we're able to talk about our personal life and connect with other pod besties and create this incredible community, I think has been so rewarding. But I did not expect it to go this far and become what it is today. So I'm really proud of us. And I'm so happy it's with you.
Same. I'm so happy that we did this together, and what a journey it's been. And thank you, Pod Besties, for staying on this journey with us, staying for the ride. It's been so fun, and cheers to 100 more episodes.
Woo!